so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want to talk to you about a warrior's heart. The Lord really dealt with me today in the last couple of days. I had this other message together, and then Steve said that, and I said, well, Lord, first of all, he ain't going to tell me what I'm going to preach. And I felt like that it was the direction of the Lord. And so I want to talk to you tonight about a warrior's heart. I want you to go with me to the book of Job. Now, those of you who don't like working, I didn't say job, I said Job. It just spells job. The book of Job. If you have a Bible like mine, it's on page 465. Job chapter 32. Job chapter 32. I want to talk to you about a warrior's heart. If you're interested in membership, if you're interested in learning more about our church, come be a part next Wednesday. We would like you to sign up because we have materials to give you. There's a sign-up sheet out front. We have 32. We will be in the new building again. We've started some construction. We've got a lot of stuff going on over there. It might not look like it, but you don't see what's going on the inside. But we'll be starting over there next Sunday. Just go straight to there. We'll start at 7 o'clock promptly. It is a class that I teach, and it is 2 weeks. Because I want to get to know you a little bit better and let you get to know me a little bit better. And, you know, you may go through this class and go, you know, I just wanted to find out what y'all are about. And that's cool. Some of you want to find out, if, you know, come and see if we're crazy. And that's cool, too. I can go ahead and answer that question for you. Most people are. And then we want to see if you're crazy. Now, we want you to come out and be a part of that. In the book of Job, chapter 32, if you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not there, say hang on. If you don't plan on finding it, say go ahead. Lord, next time I'm going to say, I ain't going to go. Job 32, verse 6 says, and Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young in years. Praise God. I am young in years, and you are very old. Therefore, I was afraid and dared not declare my opinion to you. I said, age should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But, or it should, but, there is a spirit in man. And now here's what I want you to zero in on. And the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. There is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Verse 9. Great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. Great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. And then in Job 33 and 8. Just one chapter over. Job 33 and 8 says, the Spirit of God has made me. The Spirit of God has made me. And I'm sorry, 33 and 4. The Spirit of God has made me. And the breath of the Almighty gives me life. I want you to bring that up if you can there, Smooth. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Father, I pray that you would grant me that which makes preaching easy and effective, and that is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that you give us ears to hear, a mind to receive, and a heart to receive, that may change our lives, our understanding, our wisdom, and our reasoning. Father, I pray for the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, direct us, and correct us. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Now, I do want you to know that I didn't come in late. I sat on the back row and worshiped back there and tried to straighten out some of them heathens. I sat right beside John Powers and to no avail. So pray for him. To follow Jesus is to embrace a life of faith. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. I want you to say that with me. And the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life. Hallelujah. So if we're going to be people of faith, we've got to have a warrior's heart. Because I don't know about you, but being a Christian doesn't mean that everything always goes my way. Being a Christian doesn't mean that I will just wake up and tiptoe to the tulips. It doesn't mean that I wake up on a daily basis. You know, I don't wake up speaking in tongues as a Pentecostal. Sometimes I wake up with another tongue. Come on, somebody. I don't wake up with praise and worship. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if you woke up and things were, but that don't work, man. You know, just like everybody else, you wake up, your breath stinks. Your hair is probably matted. I have a mohawk when I wake up in the mornings because I sleep hard. And you've got some issues. But being a follower of Jesus Christ means that you're not perfect, means you're forgiven. But just because you're forgiven doesn't give you a license to live however and treat people however and do however. So we've got to be a people that understand that the Spirit of God has made me and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. But in order to do that, and what does that have to do with a warrior's heart, is that how in the world could you ever imagine a life of faith that doesn't require risk? Well, Pastor, what if, and there's the what if game. What if, you know, and I've had people ask me this because I've been saved a long time. And I had a couple of brothers who are not saved, and they would ask me, Ronnie, what if you die and there's no heaven? Or no, they said, and there's no hell. I said, well, if that happens, I've still lived a good life. Because serving Jesus doesn't just save me from hell, it saves me from myself. Serving Jesus doesn't just save me from a life of debauchery. It saves me from myself. It gives me the peace that surpasses understanding that I walk through some of the very same things that everybody else walks through. But the difference is Jesus is with me and I have peace. So if I die, you come along too late to tell me that there is no heaven and there is no hell. But even if there was no hell, I would still live pretty close to what I live right now. Now, you notice I said pretty close. Pastor, what do you mean? Because I would tell some people off. I'd just tell some people off. They're not in this room, but they'll be here Sunday. Hallelujah. So faith and risk, though, are inseparable. How can you have faith and not have a little bit of risk? Is there risk? Of course there is. They're inseparable. Faith and risk are inseparable. You cannot separate the two. Because if there is no risk, there is no faith attached to it. If there is no risk, you know, some people will go, well, what would you do if you knew that you couldn't fail? Well, that's number one, that's not reality. Because, you know, all of us would do all kinds of things. If I knew I wouldn't fall, I'd get up on top of the roof and fly. But there's a good possibility that I'm going to drop like a rock. A big one. And so I'm not going to do that. So there's always risk there, but there's faith. Some of us can't believe God for the good things because we're risking, what if he doesn't come through? What if he doesn't come through? Well, my question is, what if he does? Amen? All right, so point number one is this. And if you're new here, we use youversion.com, which there's an event tab somewhere on there. It's kind of hard to find now for whatever reason. If you go to live events, put in CRCOG, you will bring up the same notes that you see up on the screen. So point number one is this. A life of faith is a life of courage. So if you're going to live a life of faith, then you got to have some courage. Courage to stand up against the wiles of the enemy. Courage to stand up against the devil. The courage to stand up against just life itself. Having faith is all about action. Because you cannot walk by faith and live in fear. I'm going to say that again. Having faith is all about action because you cannot walk by faith and live in fear. And can I tell us, some of us live in fear because of some of the things that we allow ourselves to watch and see. I'm going to tell you what, there are some movies that have come out in the last years, I believe they're of the devil itself. And people wonder why they, you know, you go watch devil-possessed stuff at the movies, and you wonder why you struggling. You wonder why, I think the devil's after me. No duh. You just knocked on the door and said, hey, why don't you come with me? I mean, I don't know a bunch of them, but there's some of them that, hey, there's some folks fanning. Somebody cut on some AC. I thought it was only me. Is it a little warm in here? All right, yeah. Cut on the AC and they'll catch up about the time we get out. All right. So, but there was one movie, what is that, the Conjuring? Remember that one about the mama? Mama, so I don't know. I couldn't even watch it on the trailer. I was like, hey, Why? Because you're scared. No, I ain't inviting that in my house. That stuff started coming out. Man, I started speaking in tongues. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Oh, you're religious. No, man, I ain't going to have that junk in my house. Amen. I'm not going to have that. You know? And so I'm just not going to do it. But, and then here's what's crazy. Because see, we are a Pentecostal church, and from time to time we have a deliverance. And the same people that go watch The Conjuring go, ooh, I like that. Then it starts happening in real life. Ooh, that's crazy. See, once you experience the real thing, you ain't gonna be playing with no fake stuff. No, sir, baby. Mm-mm. You mean, Pastor, that really happens? Yeah, it don't happen every service. But you in luck, it's scheduled for tonight. No, I'm just kidding. But having faith is all about action, and you cannot walk by faith and live in fear. The history of God's people, boy, you need to hear this. The history of God's people is not a record of God searching for courageous men and women. If you read through the Bible, that's not what God does. He doesn't search out these courageous people and go, yes, that's the one I want to use, that's the one I want to use, that's the one I want to use. No, he doesn't search out people who could handle the task. But God transforms the hearts of cowards and calls them into courageous living. I mean, look at Peter. Peter was a coward, man. How many got a friend, if they're here, don't point at them. How many got a friend like Peter? I'll never leave you. What? Some of y'all dated some people like that, right? Come on, somebody. Soulmates. Soulmates, I didn't know he ended in 3 weeks. But let's think about it. Let's look at some of the people that God used just real quickly. I'm not going to take any time here hardly. Adam and Eve. They hid from God. I mean, come on, Jack. They had one task. One task. Don't eat the fruit. I'm telling y'all, if Jesus will let me, when I get up there, I'm going to bust at him right in the lip. He messed it all up. We didn't used to have to, and you women, y'all need to gang rush, oh Eve. I mean, because before that, childbirth, no, it wasn't going to be like that. Sweat, you know, pain, in pain you shall give birth. That's on Eve. But it's also on Adam because Adam didn't say nothing. Adam wasn't somewhere away when Eve was doing this. Adam's standing right there. Little old mamby-pamby, little wimp husband. Little whipped old husband. What he should have been going to say, Eve, no! God said don't eat! That's what he should have been done. He was like, why'd you eat the fruit? Well, that's what my wife made for dinner. I better eat it. Abraham lied. He, Abraham thought he was back in Arkansas. Because they said, who is this? They said, oh, that's my sister. If you're from Arkansas, don't be offended. I talk about Alabama all the time. Amen. Moses took matters in his own hand, killed a man, and then ran. He didn't seem very courageous, did he? Abraham wasn't very courageous. He lied about who his wife was. I don't understand that. Who is that? Well, that's my sister. Because, you know, y'all can flirt with her all y'all want to. That's just my sister. I don't care. No, not my house, bro. Esther wavered back and forth. She was not courageous, but God transformed her into somebody who was courageous. And every person you read about in the Bible, most of the people that you read about in books and things, they're not courageous when they start out. But God takes them through a transformational process that gives them a warrior's heart that causes them to be able to move beyond who they are and where they are. I mean, let's talk about Elijah, one of the greatest prophets. He contemplated suicide. Those of you who don't think that's real, man, come on. Elijah's like, oh, God, just take my life. I'm so glad God didn't answer all my prayer. Or I'm glad that some of his answer was like, no. David deceived, walked out on the back of his balcony. The Bible says, at the time of war, when he should have been at war, he was at home. See, that's why you need to make sure you're where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. Uh-huh. He walked out on his balcony and saw Bathsheba taking a bath. Uh-huh. Everybody going to judge him. Whatever. But I heard she was fine. And Bathsheba and David walked out and seen her. Why in the world would people just take a bath right out and open, right out there on the balcony? People ain't got no morals no more. Good Lord. Lord, I'm glad I ain't like that. My Lord. This is terrible. This is terrible. My Lord, look, that is terrible. Good Lord, that's just terrible. Hey, yo, bro, get her digits. And we want to talk about courageous people. John the Baptist doubted. Go ask. He told his disciples, go ask Jesus, is he the one or do we look for another? Peter, come on, I mean, we can talk all day about Peter. Denied Jesus. I'm talking about the same Peter who walked on water. But like these folks, you and I have moments of weaknesses, don't we? Some people don't have moments, they have hours, days, years of weaknesses. Dark moments of the soul. Yet God calls you to dream great dreams and to have the courage to live them. I've preached this principle for years, but you'll never leave where you are until you see a place you would rather be. And you've got to get a vision in your mind of something better than where you are. And it's not a better person. It's not a better, what I need is a better wife. What I need is a better husband. No. What you need is a better you. That's what you need. And so we've got to get to the point that we see the dreams that God has given us. Because here's the deal. Great dreams demand great courage. And, you know, everybody goes about talking about, well, I could do that. It's not a matter can you do what they're doing. Are you willing to do what they've done? Right? Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to risk? You know, there are several entrepreneurs here tonight. And some of, I'm sure some of your employees would say, well, I could do what they do. I don't know, understand. No, that's not the question. Were you willing to risk it all and jump out there and do it? Until you don't, you know, because great dreams demand great courage. Whatever you're dreaming up, what are you dreaming? What are you dreaming about? Well, Pastor, you know, whatever your dream is, it's important to you.
Well, Pastor, I just want to be happy.
Well, what does that look like to you? Start letting God feel that in your life. Let God start dreaming through you. Well, but here's the problem, all right? Now, we're a Pentecostal church, in case you don't know. So let me just talk to the Pentecostals for a minute. The problem with Pentecostals is we think about, well, that's what I want. Yes, that's what I want. And you think all you've got to do is throw some tongues at it, and it's going to happen. But no, you got a part to do in this thing called the dream that God has given you, right? If your dream don't scare you, it might not be big enough or from God. Point number two is this. We need and we have a warrior's heart. Well, Pastor, I don't feel like I have one. It's because it hadn't developed yet. But you do have one. Because what did our text say? For the Almighty has breathed into us. The Almighty has breathed into us. We have our life because of the Almighty. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. And do you think that with God making you, He didn't give you a heart of courage? He said that He's given to every man a measure of faith. But faith is just like any other muscle. You have to exercise it in order for it to grow and become stronger. And the problem with some of us is we just expect other people and everybody to do it for us. Well, Pastor, that's where America is. We have a spirit of entitlement. No, it's in the church also. That we want somebody to fix us. Oh, I can't get no help up in here. Sorry, I'm going to preach anyway. We want somebody to come lay hands on us. We fall out, get up, hip-de-de-doo-dah, there you go. See, I'm not real excited when people fall out. I get real excited when they get up changed. I get excited when they go down and surrender unto God, and then God does the work and they get a new vision, a transformation in their mind and their heart, and they come up saying, I can do this because I'm not by myself. Jesus is with me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me, and I can't do it on my own, but I'm not by myself. I don't care if the pastor doesn't call me. I don't care if I can't get an appointment. I'm still going to seek the face of God, and God's going to bring me through some things because it's not in the past. Pastor, it's not in the church, it's in Jesus Christ, Him crucified, and if I will hold on to His unchanging hand, He will bring me through. Praise the Lord. Now check this out. The Spirit of the Lord, or the Spirit of God, has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Now that breath in Hebrew is ruach. I'm good? Got my professor over here. The Hebrew word is ruach, which means spirit, wind. Breath can also be translated courage. Ooh, come on, somebody. So we could read this. For the Spirit of God has made me, and the courage of the Almighty gives me life. The courage of the Almighty. You know, some of you wouldn't believe this, but I'm a little shy. I am. I know. But that's what the courage of the Lord does. That's what the courage of the Lord does. He gives you courage to do things that you wouldn't able to do. See, many of us know about that liquid courage. You know what I'm saying? You know, that liquid courage. Well, this is a spirit courage. That God gives you the courage to do things you wouldn't normally do. God gives you the courage to believe what you wouldn't normally believe. God gives you the courage to believe that it can be better. God gives you the courage that I can do better. God gives you the courage because what are the 2 Timothy 1:7 says? For the Lord hath not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. I want to read it. I've got it somewhere. Hang on, let me find it. Because I want to read the amplified version of 2 Timothy 1:7. Here it is. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity. Parentheses, of cowardice, of craven, or cringing, or fawning fear, but He has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind. Well, I like the wording on that. He's given us the power and love and of calm and well-balanced mind. and discipline.
There's that four-letter ugly word in Christianity.
Discipline and self-control.
We had to go there.
And as soon as I say that word, self-control, I think of ice cream. Anybody else with me? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I have plenty of self-control when it comes to some things.
Self-control with ice cream?
No. I got good control over ice cream when you hit the bottom. Ephesians 5:18.
Oh, I'm going to get some people mad right here. It's all right.
Do not get drunk with wine. Well, it's all right. For that is wickedness.
Don't get mad.
You'll get mad. Get mad at God. Thank you, ma'am. I love the Amplified. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, corruption, stupidity. Some of y'all are like, I am clapping. He called me stupid. That's all right. But be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by Him. Man, I mean, what? Dude, that's a word. You know, so you don't need the liquid courage. You got the courage of God. You got the Ruach of God. And if you got the courage of God, He will give you a well-balanced mind. Man, some of y'all need to grab a hold of that. Bump your neighbor and say, I know He's talking to you right now. Well-balanced mind, disciplined mind. He needs that self-control. But He said, do not be filled with wine, because it's stupid, it's corruption, but be filled with the Holy Spirit and be constantly guided. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're constantly guided by the Holy Spirit. You're guided by Him. Who do I want to be guided by? A drunk or by God? I'm going to choose God. Because we often read this to speak of God's power, but it would be just as accurate to understand it as being filled with God's courage. And if you can be filled with God's courage, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing that's going to make you afraid. I'm not talking about not being, you know, you ever met, don't point at them, you ever met people who aren't afraid of nothing because they're stupid? You know, I'm from the South. Famous last words, watch this. But check this out. What good is power without courage? What good is power without courage? You know, there's a big old boy that was around here at the church who, when we were building our church, he's a big old boy, about 6'5", 240 pounds, something like that. And we were building the church, and I kept finding people because our construction dumpster was across the street. I would find people I never found them, but there would be people who would dump in this construction dumpster that we were paying for. And so I was asking this guy about it. He goes, well, yeah, you know, I saw somebody over there dumping. I go, what'd you say? I didn't say nothing, Pastor. It was four of them. I don't care. I said, dude, you're 6'5", 240 pounds. Well, but I don't know. Well, what would you have done? I said, I don't know. And I'm 2'11" and 5'11". But you understand what I'm saying? But if you've got power, it don't matter how big you are. You know, what if you know Kung Fu? But you're a coward. That don't help, right? What use is it to have God's power if you lack the courage to actually use it? What good is it? So what if you walk on water, but you're afraid to get out of the boat? I'm telling y'all right now, if I could walk on water, I would be doing it every day. That's why God didn't give me that power. Because I'd be down at Crystal River selling tickets. Y'all watch this. Ain't no doubt in my mind. We'd have this church paid off, Jack. Who cares if you can raise the dead if you're afraid to pray for the sick? You know, and I don't mean this lightly, but you know, people ask me, well, Pastor, what do you do if you pray for somebody and they don't get healed? I go, next. Because I'm not the healer. You're not the healer. It is our job to pray the prayer of faith and believe it is Jesus' job to heal. You can't take on it. It's not my prerogative. I just got to do what the Word says. Right? What good is it to be given the power to prosper and succeed at life if you're too afraid to engage in living? Listen, I'm telling you, it is an epidemic in our society. I've shared this before at our last youth camp. You know, there were 400 or 500 junior in elementary school, first to fifth grade. And one of the biggest altar calls they had, William, you were there, was for anxiety. I mean, come on. I'll tell you, part of that is because of the age that we live in. Part of that is, listen, parents, quit telling your kids all your business. I remember, not because I'm that old, but I remember having my kids leave the room when I needed to talk about something serious. Well, the kids need to know. No, they don't. Amen. And then some of us have so much anxiety on us that we're giving it to our children. Listen, the power to live, the courage to live. You know, I know people who can't. I know you're watching, and I hope you're not offended. But there's somebody who watches online because they have too much anxiety to even get out of the house and come to the house of God. The devil is killing you. The devil is robbing you from life. He's robbing you from living. Jesus said, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So don't be afraid to engage the living. Power without courage is a waste. Without courage, we cannot live the life that we were born to live. We relinquish our dreams and accept our situations. Well, I guess this is just life. You know, marriages get into that rut. And marriages do. Let's just be real. They do. I've been married 31 years. And I got a couple of them. But we don't stay there. When we realize we're there, we stop the truck. Right? But some people say, well, you know, that's just life. You know, you get married, you're real excited for the first week. And then things settle down and you just kind of go through life. No, that's not marriage. The problem is, again, you have a view that's not biblical. Man, marriage is great. You know, here's what I tell people. Marriage done right is the greatest thing God ever created. Done wrong, oh, God, it's misery. Laughing a little too hard back there. Steve, you might want to go in the back, taking some names. Without courage, we can't live that. We conform to the path of least resistance and abdicate our freedom, and we just start living the life of the least amount of resistance. That's not what God called you to do. He called you to live a life of faith. Point number three is this. A life without courage is a life without value. A life without courage is a life without value. You know, some people, because of the way that I preach and some of the way that I am, people think I just thrive on conflict. Because I'm not afraid of it, but I really dislike it. But if it's done correctly, it causes everyone to grow and not stay stagnant. You know, I'm involved with, and not our church, but I'm involved in other aspects of the Church of God, and I really hate it because I call a spade a spade, and I really want everybody to like me. I'm really kind of that guy. I want everybody to like me. but not at the expense of sitting back for what's wrong. All right? And so we've got to know that a life without courage is a life of value. So I could be who I want to be, or I can be who God's called me to be. Amen? All right? You ain't got to go there, but write it down. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. It says, now it came about that after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, here's what, Moses died, and then God spoke to Joshua, who's the associate, and says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoken to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land, which I swear to their fathers to give them. Only, verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it, the right or to the left, so that you may have good success wherever you go. Now, here we have a promise, he said it three times, be of good courage. And he's given them a promise. Now, my next slide, Roderick, says, a promise of conquest, but not a promise of tranquility. A promise of conquest, but not a promise of tranquility. And old-fashioned, and I don't want to say old-fashioned, but many Pentecostal, charismatic, hyper-grace, hyper-super-faith people think that this life, if you do it right, is just going to be, hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. My children got up and got dressed by themselves today. And all their clothes match. Oh, my goodness. I went to the job today and they go, don't even show up. We're going to pay you. Just stay home for the day. Yes. Hallelujah. I went to put gas in my car. It was already full. Oh. Glory to God. I went to the bank to put my check in. They go, no, we can't take any more of your money. The coffers are full. No, that doesn't work that way, right? But wait a minute. God promised. Jesus said, I come that you may have life and may have it more abundantly. Woo-hoo-hoo, hallelujah. But the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. See, there's a promise of conquest, but not a promise of tranquility. Conquest means that there's something to conquer. He said that I'll make you more than conquerors, which means there's something to conquer. So just because you're a Christian does not take everything, all the struggles out from in front of you. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that everything's going to be just tiptoe into the tulips. It doesn't work that way. But you know, Joshua's enemies would not be able to stand against him, is what he said, but they would try. He said, no man will be able to stand before you. He didn't say, no man will stand before you. How about Isaiah? Write this down for some of you that don't know it. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Now, I like that. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. But we want to go, no weapon. You got to finish the rest. Formed against you. It doesn't say no weapon will form against you. You know, I love the verse that goes, if God be for you, who can be against you? I'll tell you, everybody. Everybody else. That's who can be against you. No weapon formed against you. It didn't say that a weapon won't form. It didn't say you won't have trouble. You will have trouble. Jesus never lied in his advertisement. He said, in this life you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. My peace I leave with you, not the peace of this world, but my peace I leave with you. Hallelujah. So notice that the weapon will form, it just won't be able to prosper. Like all promises, there are two parts. All promises from the Lord are two parts. God's part, here's what he said, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Well, does that mean if God's with me, I won't go through trouble? No, you got to have courage that you're going to go through stuff. Remember, Jesus was with them on the boat when the storm arose. But at some point in time, when they woke him up, he got up there and said, peace, be still. Right? They still had to struggle. All right? God's part said, I will be with you just like I was with Moses. But then there was Joshua's part, be strong and courageous. But we don't want to do our part. We just want God to do his part. God, you do it. And anybody, don't point at nobody. But anybody know folks who like, you know, they serve God wholesale. But they want God to bless them retail. You know. Lord, what else you want? I came to church on Wednesday night. Good Lord. I mean, I'm here, bro. Come on. Deuteronomy 29 and 29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. The people of Israel saw no contrast. They didn't see a dichotomy when it came to serving God. What they did see, church, is they saw that man always has a part to play. And that's what we've got to realize, that you've got a part to play. You know, people, and preachers, some preachers will tell you, oh, all you got to do is just serve the Lord. Just go to church and everything's going to be. No, there's a part that you play. You know, well, Pastor, I don't understand. I struggle in my finances even though I'm a tither. Well, do you budget? Well, no, we don't have to budget. We're tithers. No, you still have to budget. Pastor, I'm blessed. I don't understand why my kids are acting crazy. Well, are you raising them? Well, no, I'm letting the Holy Ghost. That's why they wild Indians. Hallelujah. Do you discipline them? No, I let the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Ghost wants to use you and your belt. Call DCF. Mine are grown. That's right. Statute of limitations done out. No, I don't know. Listen, those of you who don't know me and don't get sarcasm, I'll be the first one to step up and hurt somebody for hurting a child. I don't believe that. But discipline, if you don't discipline, that's hurting the child. And the problem with America is the parents. My children ain't out hurting people. Why? Well, because I hurt them. That's why. Well, you know, and I know it's kind of crazy. You know, your child hits somebody, you walk up to them, we don't hit. Pop. You just said we don't hit, but you hit me. What's up with that? Discipline, I don't know why I'm on this, but discipline is forward looking. Punishment is past looking. All right? So we need to learn how to discipline our children. How do you do that, Pastor? Right here. Well, somebody will call the law on me. No, they won't if you do it right. Don't do it mad. You know, those of you who know, you don't let your mama comb your hair when she's mad. All right, so here it is. All right, two parts, right? I'm almost done. I don't know. It's not in my notes. I don't know where stuff comes from. I don't know. Squirrel. Anyway, God would lead Joshua. But then Joshua would lead the people. God would lead Joshua, and Joshua would lead the people. Well, Pastor, that's why I don't go to church, because of all the hypocrites. Well, why do you go to Walmart? I promise you there's more there. Matter of fact, there are folks walking around that says, can I help you? And when you ask them, they act like you're messing with them. But you're bothering them. But we still roll right back up in there, don't we? Amen, we do. Hallelujah. God would lead Joshua, but Joshua would lead Israel. And there's something that God wants you to do. God, Pastor, not me. Yeah, it is. There's something that God wants you to do. Well, what is it? Well, I might not know it. We can try to help you find it. But I don't know what it is. But God, there is something that God wants you to do. He don't want you to sit there like a bump on a pickle. Or a bump on a log. There's something that he wants you to do. And so many of us have wasted our lives not getting ready for what God has for us. He doesn't want you just to sit back and watch him do it or passively wait for him to do it. But a calling that God wants you to embrace, pursue, and fulfill. I've used this many times, you know. Some people go, well, you know, I believe the Lord wants me to play the piano. All right, how many lessons are you taking? I'm just waiting for God to come fill it. I haven't taken one lesson. That's not going to work, man. Well, I believe that God, you know, what are you doing to get ready for it? What if David wouldn't have been on the backside of the pasture, keeping his father's sheep, practicing with his sling? While everybody else was polishing their brass, he was polishing his skill. He was back there. He wasn't back there talking about, my Lord, they gave me the worst job in the family. I mean, let me tell you how low on the totem pole he was. When the prophet called for all the boys to come, they didn't even call. They didn't even call David. I don't know about y'all. That would have hurt my feelings.
I thought I was part of this family. Y'all didn't even call me. I'm a dude.
That'd have hurt my feelings. But David was out there practicing his sling and practicing his worship. Because one day, there was going to be a Goliath that stood before him. And when Goliath stood before him, one day, there was going to be a conquest stand before him. And he didn't need to go, hey, oh, hang on, let me go practice. But that's what we do. Bad things happen. And when bad things happen, one or two things happen, it either runs you away from God or runs you to God. And usually when we run to God, we're going, God, I'm sorry. All right, I got to get ready because I got this problem. The boogeyman's after me. Instead of turning and facing it because you're ready. You know, I didn't know which way it was coming, but it's here. So God, you've already had me. You've had me in training. I've been worshiping. I've been praying. I've got the word of God down. I know my scriptures. I know what to do. I might not know everything, but I know to stand. And so I'm just going to worship God through it. And devil, you're not going to take my praise. You're not going to take my life. You're not going to take my joy. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I need the strength of the Lord because he's given me the courage. And I'm not going to let you come in and just run roughshod over me. I'm going to stand and see the salvation of the Lord. God chooses to entrust his most precious work to the people like you and me. Wouldn't it be easy? I would think. I mean, you know, you would have to be seriously ignorant if an angel of the Lord came down and said, the Lord wants you to praise me. And you go, oh, yes, Jesus, hallelujah. Or the angel of the Lord come down and goes, you're not living right. You need to get right. You'd go, you know, start a worldwide ministry about angel spotting. But that's not what God chose to use. Because you know why? Because when you go through bad things, you look at the angel and you go, you don't understand. You're not doing what I... That's why he uses you and I. Go, yeah, I do understand. I've been there. I was there. I've done that. And I can tell you that there's life afterwards. I can tell you that God can help you through it. Courage. A promise of conquest, but not a promise of tranquility. Hallelujah. Man always has a part to play. God expected Joshua to lead the people into the land. Now check it out. God would go with them, but he would not go for them. And that's where we want. We want God to do it for us. God will go with them, but he would not go for them. Our courage directly affects the speed at which our future unfolds. An opportunity always requires action. How many's ever let an opportunity pass you? You said, man, I should have acted. Oh, I should have jumped on that. Should have, could have, would have. The timid lack the ability to respond quickly. And there's a direct relationship between courage and our ability to respond quickly. Because when you have courage, you're able to just say yes or no, whatever the case is. When God speaks to us, it requires action, guys. And courage is not the absence of fear. It is the absence of self. Courage moves us to risk ourselves for the benefit of others. You know, I get criticized. I would say, oh, I'm used to it. And I kind of am, but I'm not. Because I'm human. I get criticized sometimes for being too transparent. You know, you're the pastor. You're supposed to be a little higher than that. No, dude, I'm not. I'm a human. Serving God just like you. Trying to get there just like you. The difference is he's called me to do this. Courage is not the absence of fear, it's the absence of self. Courage frees us from the fears that would rob us of life itself. Without courage, we become conformist. You know, you ever go into a church and you're always waiting for somebody else to worship before you do? You know, the church I preached at Sunday morning is a bilingual church. They speak Creole. It's a Haitian church. They speak Creole and then they speak some English. And they were speaking in Creole, and you know, I don't know what they're saying. I don't speak Creole. And so everybody started standing. So what did I do? I just do it. They clapped, I clapped. Why? I don't know what they're saying. I just became a conformist. And then one time I seen several people standing, I stood, nobody else did. I go, oh, I think I messed up. Only by being courageous can you become creative, uncommon, precious beings that God has called to be. I'm going to just lay it out for you. The path to Christ, the path is not for the weak at heart. Cowards are welcome, but the journey is transformational. I want to be transformed, man. I know the version of me I was. I'm starting to like the version that I am, but I'm looking to the version that I'm becoming. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. Somebody needs to hear me. I'm not there yet. I'm not where I ought to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. If you'd have seen where I came from, come on somebody. If you'd have seen where I came from, you wouldn't judge me. You'd be celebrating with me. If you know where I came from, this thing is transformational. Who you will become because of the courage of God will even surprise you. Come on, let's stand to our feet tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.